As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Oh, yeah, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show-me showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Friday, July the 8th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, my name is William Roberts. Always good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you from time to time, too. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you are most certainly not alone, but you are in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive talk radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the telephone call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in the area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air and from around America and around the world. You can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access listening via our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. A big shout out this morning to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, reallibertymedia.com, Channel 16, and talkstreamlive.com. Thank you all for carrying this broadcast and getting it out to your greater audiences. Our call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. All that contact information can be found at becomevocallocal.com, including our chat room. This morning, precious metals spike on a disappointing jobs report. We'll talk about that. Crude oil drops, USDX up. The J.P. Morgan spanked for stealing and lying. Well, what's new there, right? Japan going nucleus. Yeah, they are. Crooked elections. We'll go there as well. Planning commissions, maybe. Communal ghosts, certainly. Public policy, yeah. Grammar, logic, lots on the plate this morning. Of course, we'll take your calls throughout the broadcast and much, much more. Let's go into our market report for this morning, Friday, July the 8th, 2011. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight. Tom Fine Gold spiking straight up. It looks like a ETF extravaganza going on in there this morning. Exchange-traded funds jumps up $8.40 as of 9 o'clock a.m. about an hour ago to $1,541.10, and it's higher than that now. Silver up 8 cents at $36.72. Platinum off $5 at $17.39. Palladium as well down $8 at $7.76. Balancing things out, throwing the weight towards gold and silver. The lows and the highs of the gold spot market this morning, $1,523.90 for a low, $1,544.90 for a high. Pretty decent spread shaping up there. But at $1,541.10, your gold is up year-to-year, $341.90 for a 28.53% return on your investment. The boys in London this morning, the London Price Fixers, set the gold at $1,526. And it has been trading well above that. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed up 93 at 12,720. The NASDAQ closed up 39 at 2873. And the S&P 500 closed up 14 at 1353. Crude oil this morning off $2.06 at $96.61 a barrel. Those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. Your U.S. dollar index up 41 basis points at 75.33, and the SPDR gold shares unchanged again, very virtually throughout the whole week at 1,205.81 metric tons, valued on State Street at $59.2 billion. The bond market this morning, the yield on the two-year treasuries, 0.40%, the 10-year at 306, and the 30 at 433. We'll be right back.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again right here on our Friday, July the 8th, 2011, 2-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, the chat room, you can find it at becomevocallocal.com. We mentioned in the previous segment, gold is up this morning, $8.40 at $15.41.10. Silver up 8 cents at $36.52. Both platinum and palladium are down. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, a nice wide spread developing, $15.23.90. For a low, $15.44.90. For a high, coming in, closing back in on that $15.50 peg. Will it get there today? Perhaps. Huge spike this morning early. Just went straight up. It's another one of those exchange-traded funds, ETF type of deals, it looks like to me. Virtually a straight-up line. Lots of people, or at least one big hand and deep pocket, piling into the market there this morning. But, of course, the jobs numbers and everything else were really disappointing, so let's just go right to it. Looking at the calendar wrap-up for this week yesterday, didn't get the numbers they wanted in the jobless claims. The Consumer Comfort Index didn't come out the way they wanted it. The natural gas report was disappointing. Petroleum status was disappointing. This morning, the employment situation, monster employment. Yeah, they weren't getting what they were looking for, but let's just pick this one up and look at the employment situation. Today's employment report is abysmal, period. We need to say any more than that? I'll say it again. Today's employment report is abysmal. We have had 2 months in a row of essentially no growth. Non-farm payroll employment in June slowed to a crawl with an 18,000 gain following a revised 25,000 rise in May. Well, they had to fudge it up last month, got a little bit more this month, revised 217,000 in April. The market median forecast was for a 105,000 boost. Also, the April and May revisions were down net 44,000. Once again, the government sector held down payroll numbers as private non-farm payrolls outpaced that with an increase of 57,000 in June, following a 73,000 advance in May. Analysts had projected 125,000 in June, so they're not even coming close to half. Most major industries were little changed. Goods producing jobs edged up 4,000 following 3,000 rise in May. And it continues. Growth in private sectors, growth in private service providing jobs slowed to a rise of 53,000 after 70,000 increase the prior month. The leading the increase in June was leisure and hospitality, up 34,000. Professional and technical services up 24,000. Healthcare continued to trend upward with a 14,000 boost. On the downside, standouts were educational services, down 17,400. Financial activities, down 15,000. And temporary help, down 12,000. The government sector shed another 39,000 jobs, following a 48,000 drop in May. The latest decrease was led by local governments, but declines were also seen at state and federal levels. Just a very disappointing news. And as a result, the markets are reacting, and that's what's going down. U.S. consumer confidence declines from a 10-week high in the Bloomberg Index. Bob Willis writing this one for Bloomberg. Consumer confidence in the U.S. receded from the highest level in 10 weeks as Americans' perceptions of their finance and the economy dimmed. I mean, we can go on through the rest of the report. Long story here, but it pretty much sums it up. How are you feeling this morning, America? Are you feeling confident? Well, you'd be one of the few. U.S. payrolls rise 18,000. Jobless rate climbs to 9.2%. That's right. And over the last 3 months, you know, for like 6 or 7 months, it was going down, 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 down. And now for the last 3 months, it's been going up. 3 months ago, it was 8.90. This morning, it's 9.2. On the funny numbers that they use here, go over, if you want to get the real information, you might visit with shadowstats.com, John Williams' website, and take a look at some of the charts that he's got there for you. You'll have a better understanding of what the unemployment really is all about. But again, U.S. employers added 18,000 workers in June, the fewest in 9 months. 300 and some million people in this country. 18,000 new jobs. That is not good. The increase in payrolls followed a 25,000 gain that was less than half the rise initially estimated. Less than half. The median estimate in a Bloomberg survey called for a June gain of 105,000. 25,000. Unemployment rate rose to 9.2%, blah, blah, blah. Firms are hesitant to commit to taking on new employees when customer demand is uncertain. It suggests that consumer demand is sputtering. We'll see downwardly revised third quarter forecasts. All right? Are you with me? Paying attention? Not good news. People don't have any money. People are not driving around. People are not buying anything at the mall. You know, well, they're buying whatever they... Well, they're buying the things they need. They're not buying the things they want. And as a result, the stores are just overflowing with material to offer. Ashley Lutz writes this one for Bloomberg. U.S. earnings may see the smallest gain in 2 years. U.S. corporations are set to report the slowest earnings gain since the recession ended, as companies from Ford Motor Company and McDonald's struggle with rising oil and commodity prices and a slowdown in consumer confidence that may continue to hamper spending this year. You get yourself set up in this consumer world view that we have been asked to participate in. Remember Jorge Bush, on the day after, what was it, September the 12th, maybe, of 2001, right after the magic disappearing act of the World Trade Centers. Yeah, he said to go shopping. Go shopping, America. Well, Americans have stopped, all but stopped, shopping. We aren't going to see the dramatic increase we've seen in some quarters, said John Kerry, who helps manage $260 billion for Pioneer Investment in Boston. Consumer spending got hammered a bit because of higher oil prices. We've also seen a drop in consumer confidence, which maybe hurts numbers, and it continues. Doesn't get a lot better than that. J.P. Morgan in the news here this morning, actually yesterday's news. J.P. Morgan is to pay $228 million to settle Muni bid rigging allegations by the SEC. And, of course, now $228 million to J.P. Morgan. I mean, the three top CEOs could split that up, take it out of their coffee fund. So it's not much of a slap to guys that have been raking billions and billions off, as they say, billions to bankers and debts to the people. But William Selway and Martin Z. Brown writing this one for Bloomberg. J.P. Morgan Chase and Company agreed to $228 million settlement on charges that conspired to rig the bidding on investment contracts sold to state and local governments to boost its profits at the taxpayer expense. All right, investment contracts sold to state and local government. The agreement ends investigations of the second largest U.S. bank by the Justice Department, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and the Attorneys General of 25 states, including the District of Columbia. But again, this $228 million sounds like a lot to me, but it's a drop in the bucket to these clowns. Federal investigators have probed for more than 4 years. I wonder how much they spent. How much was spent by the Justice Department? How much tax dollars were spent by the Securities and Exchange Commission and the Attorney Generals to bring back $228 million? They probably spent $228 million doing the investigation. J.P. Morgan improperly won bids by entering into secret agreements with bidding agents to get the illegal last look at competitors' bids. Municipal issuers and investors didn't stand a chance against the fraudulent strategies. Fraudulent strategies. Criminal charges have been brought against 18 finance industry employees in the past 2 years, 9 of whom have pleaded guilty, including James Hertz, a former J.P. Morgan banker. Hertz is one of 5 former workers at the bank who received letters informing them that they are targets of the Justice Department probe. Well, that's the story.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Slobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
So again, from our studies in business law and business in general, we understand the structure, the organizational structure of corporations and corporate America and the corporate government and so on and so forth. All right, so we have to understand that even though, you know, the people at the top of J.P. Morgan, for instance, Jamie Dimon, they're very much out in front. All right, these are the CEOs, you know, your Lloyd Blankfeins, et cetera, you know, Cohen and those guys. They're all out in front. They're the ones that everybody sees. They have a lot of responsibility, no doubt about it, and they ought to be held accountable when they fail. But remember also that what we've learned is that the board of directors has a lot to do with shaping company policy and the things that they're doing, and that the stockholders are the owners. All right? So there's a lot more to these stories than just coming in with a licking stick and going after this employee here and that employee there. They got a company policy here. It goes on back. We studied this when we got into it with Gustavus Myers, The History of the Great American Fortunes. And here they say, as a part of today's settlement, J.P. Morgan took responsibility for illegal, anti-competitive conduct by its former employees. Well, it's a business policy. It's a model. And it's an ancient one. And you might as well just look at J.P. Morgan as being what? The Treasury and Goldman Sachs being the Federal Reserve? It's something like that. All right. Anyway, the accord includes $92 million for the states and the district, $35 million for the U.S. Office of Comptroller of the Currency, $51.2 million for the SEC, and $50 million for the Internal Revenue Service. So, you know, where's the money? Where's the money going to go? Right into government. It's coming out of J.P. Morgan, right back to the same people that gave them the money in the TARP funds and the bailouts and everything. Anyway. Ma and Pa America ain't getting their money back. Debt's gone. It's gone. Gold may advance next week as debt concerns boost demand, survey shows. Nicholas Larkin, good writer here, writing for Bloomberg. Gold may gain as debt concerns in Europe and the U.S. spur demand for the metal as a protection of wealth, the survey found. And that's always a flight to safety. Flight to safety, you hear it all the time. 14 of 18 traders, investors, and analysts surveyed by Bloomberg, or 78%, said that bullion will rise next week. Two predicted lower prices, and two were neutral. Gold for August delivery was up 3% for this week at $1,527.80 an ounce by 11:39 a.m. yesterday on the COMEX. It reached a record of $1,577.40 on May the 2nd, and we're moving back into that zone again. But one of the things that you don't see in this lengthy article here about gold isn't any discussion of silver. And there's a reason for that, largely because there's a lot of short positions out there. There's a lot of action happening. And many of the greatest prognosticators on the planet are saying the real moves this year and perhaps in the years to come are going to be in silver. Absolute shortage, having a real hard time trying to find enough silver to build all of the solar panels to go along with Don Quixote's windmills. Malaysia to block roads in a bid to stop protesters demanding fair elections. You think we got trouble with elections here? Well, it's a global problem, all right? A global problem. I won't even try these guys' names, but major roads into Malaysia's capital city will be closed and buses diverted tomorrow when a group campaigning for fair elections plans to defy a government ban on staging a protest rally in Kuala Lumpur, the police said, quote, anything that is under and within the powers of the police will be used depending on the circumstances, close quote. Wow, that does not sound good. This includes potentially using the Internal Security Act or the Emergency Ordinance, which allow for detention without trial. Can you say Viet Dinh? Patriot Act on a global scale. The lockdown comes after Prime Minister Najib Razak's cabinet ordered that a rally planned by the Coalition for Clean and Fair Elections tomorrow must be held in a stadium outside of the city. And you see, free speech zone, right? And the lobby group, also known as Bershi, or Bersh, however you pronounce that, still plans to hold its rally in Kuala Lumpur's Merdeka Stadium, its steering committee said in an emailed statement. So even though they're getting cordoned off into a free speech zone, they're still going to hold their rally for a free and fair election. Sudan, we heard about the Sudan partition. Watched as that went down. Well, here we go. Sudan braces for renewed protests, violence, as the oil-rich South breaks away. I thought it was the Christian South and the Mohammedans, the Islamic North. At least that was the story they were going by. Now we find out it's the oil-rich South. Where did all those Christians go? To the bank? I don't know. Maybe they're paying Peter's pence, but there's more to the story than that. Maram Mazan writing this one. The secession of Sudan's oil-rich southern region tomorrow may rekindle unrest over soaring prices and stoke violence in outlying regions against President Omar al-Bashir's northern government in Khartoum. Austerity measures are likely to fuel discontent. Everybody's trying on this austerity garment. Jean-Baptiste Galapin, the controls risk associate analyst on the Middle East and North Africa, said in a phone interview from London, Bashir is in a very tricky position. While the South's independence ends a rebellion against Khartoum that lasted almost 50 years, northern insurgents are still fighting. Government forces in the western region of Darfur and unrest has exploded in recent weeks in other states such as southern Kordofan. At the same time, the opposition in Khartoum is threatening to renew its protests over spending cuts that were violently put down earlier this year. Drop down a little bit in this thing and let's come up with it. Here we go. Southern Sudan will assume control of about 75% of Sudan's daily oil production of 490,000 barrels. Now, 490,000 barrels per day was the same number that they were talking about over to Libya, but it was also the same number that we're hearing coming out of what was going to be Gull Island on that Liberty platform that apparently is being in position or being put into position for horizontal drilling. 490,000 barrels seems to be a magic number when it comes to talking about oil production. The crude is pumped, now listen, mainly by China National Petroleum Company, Malaysia's Petroleum Nacional BHD, and India's Oil and Natural Gas Corporation. How much of this money is going to go to the people in Sudan? Precious little, I'd have to say. Clashes in southern Kordofan, including arterial and aerial bombardments, have forced more than 73,000 people to flee their homes. Excuse me. How many of them are going to wind up in the United States as illegal aliens is anybody's guess. Japan may be nuclear free by May, be like next May, as tests delay restarts. This is right out of the news basket this morning. Japan, off Bloomberg, may have no nuclear reactors running by May of next year should the round of tests announced by the government this week cause further delays to restarting units idled for maintenance. Of course, that's going to increase their reliance on what? Diesel fuel? Coal? What are they going to do? Knit electricity or something? I don't know. Shikoku Electric Power Company today. Got to get the sushi in the right place in my mouth there. Today said it delayed starting a reactor that was due to resume in 2 days. About two-thirds of Japan's 54 reactors have been shut down by the March, what happened to the earthquake and tsunami, or because of regular checks leading to power-saving measures in parts of the country. It would have made sense if stress tests were announced before Trade Minister Kaida said Japan's nuclear plants are safe. Kaida. Trade Minister Kaida. I wonder if he's any relation to Al.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network. Visit us online at oraclebroadcasting.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to OracleBroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So back into this discussion with what's going down over in Japan still. The so-called stress test on the nuclear stations were announced 2 days ago by the Trade Ministry, Banri Kaida. Like I said, maybe Banri is a brother of Al-Qaeda. Almost 3 weeks after he declared all the reactors safe. Of course, that didn't make people happy. Because he declared all the reactors safe, then they turned around and announced the stress test. It would have made sense if the stress tests were announced before the trade minister, Kaida, and said Japan's nuclear plants are safe, said Tetsuo Ito, the head of the Atomic Energy Research Institute at Kinki University in western Japan. My gosh, that's I'd like to go to Kinki. Would you like to have a diploma from Kinki University? Wow. Wonder what they study there. Residents around reactors must feel really insulted, he said. All right. The remaining operating units in Japan, the world's third biggest user of nuclear power, must be idled by May of next year, according to schedules provided to Bloomberg by Kyushu Electric, Shikoku Electric, and Tokyo Electric Power Company, Kansai Electric Power Company, and the other power companies. The U.S. and France are the biggest users of atomic power. Reactor meltdowns? No reactor has been restarted since the quake, and the tsunami caused 3 reactor meltdowns, they say. According to Kyushu Electric Power Company, other companies surveyed by Bloomberg, all plants are required to close for maintenance every 13 months, and it continues. So they've got new guidelines coming down the pike as well. Much to see that. Going to go here. Next one. Oil rises in New York on signs of U.S. crude stockpiles shrank a fifth week. I thought we just released all that strategic reserve stuff. But oil rises in New York on signs that U.S. crude stockpiles shrank. I guess I wonder if that release of the strategic stockpile was to pay off BP and somebody else. I don't know. Ben Sharple's writing this one. All right. Oil rose from a two-day low in New York as investors bet declining stockpiles and signs of economic recovery in the U.S. indicated fuel demand is strengthening in the world's biggest crude consumer. Well, crude. Futures climbed as much as 0.9% after the American Petroleum Institute said inventories dropped 3.2 million barrels last week. And it continues, the inventory numbers and euphoric buying is probably what's helping crude higher. The inventory numbers and euphoric buying. Who's buying euphoric gasoline? Who's buying euphoric diesel? You bleed for gas and diesel these days. The big numbers are the employment data. The market is focused on positive numbers, and if they don't get it, it'll be the last nail in the coffin. Well, honey, they didn't get it. Crude for August delivery gained as much as 83 cents to 97.48 a barrel in electronic trading on the New York Merck. It was 97.28 at 2.13. Brent crude for August settlement on the London-based ICE Futures, that's the Intercontinental Exchange, Inc.'s Futures Europe Exchange, increased 44 cents to $114 a barrel. And it continues, talks about the Brent spread. U.S. stockpiles, gasoline stockpiles probably slid 150,000 barrels from 213.2 million barrels last week. Based on the survey, distillate fuels, that'd be your diesel and other things, a category that includes heating oil and diesel, are expected to have risen 900,000 barrels. So one's going up, the other's going down. The Energy Department is scheduled to release its weekly report at 11 a.m. in Washington, a day late because of the 4th of July. And then oil may extend its gains, the middle band of the chart, so on and so forth. Oil also gained today as Japanese machinery orders climbed at the fastest pace in 4 months, whatever that's got to do with it. But on the one hand, we talk about gasoline and diesel being, you know, in oversupply, and then immediately we talked about undersupply. These guys can't keep their story straight. Talk about cognitive dissonance. Anyway, Indian Supreme Court here halts an opening, get this, at a cobra-guarded vault of a Hindu temple. Well, wouldn't want to go in there. Of course, it's not a real cobra. It's just carved on the door of the temple. These Hindus got all kinds of voodoo up their sleeve, though. P.S. Patnak and Bidhara Pradhan writing this one for Bloomberg. India's Supreme Council halted opening the final vault at a Hindu temple where treasures that may be worth at least $20 billion have been unearthed, seeking assurances on the security and the preservation of the find. $20 billion under a temple. Wow. Judges asked for suggestions from the trust controlled by the descendants of the royal family of Travancore that runs the 16th century temple and the government of the southern state of Kerala, and said they will consider the case again on July the 14th. Bags of diamonds, an 18-foot-long gold necklace. Must have been a big gal, man. Wow, 18 feet. Well, maybe they just wrap it around and around and around your neck, slowly, slowly choking all life. And statues of Hindu gods, plural, and 19 kilograms or 42 pounds of precious coins are among the items found so far from the cellars in the complex, according to the website. And you can find this if you're interested in following it. The article's up on Bloomberg this morning. Indian Supreme Court halts opening at a cobra-guarded temple. All right? You can. It's the Sri Padmanabhaswarmi Temple. Sri Padmanabhaswarmi Temple. Wow. The chambers were opened after a local lawyer asked the state's high court to take stock of what was in the temple, amid accusations that it was being mismanaged. It continues, royal offerings, all the jewels and coins you see being recovered from the temple are offerings made by the king and the relatives during festivals, visits, and special occasions like birthdays. So, you know, they pass the plate on Sunday and you put all your money in it. Then they build a crystal cathedral, and then the cathedral goes broke, then they sell it to the Mormons. What a mess. You believe in that stuff, folks? The palace has no right to take back the wealth, not even a gold coin. Well, the Hindus' gods couldn't use it. I guess it ought to go back to the people. But You don't see it that way. Other items in the open vaults include gold ropes, antique jewelry studded with diamonds and emeralds, according to the temple's website. Bad omen? The India Today magazine reported that the final room is believed to contain the temple's most precious items, citing people close to the royal family didn't name. Its door is the only one adorned with the image of a cobra, the magazine reported, and opening it might be a bad omen for those involved. I wouldn't want to have my hand on that doorway. No, sirree, I'd let that one go. That cobra says it all. Missouri River flooding closes another Nebraska-Iowa bridge. Bit more news here, one more story. Omaha, Nebraska, Missouri flooding closes another bridge on Wednesday morning with the U.S. Highway between Highway 30 between Blair, Nebraska and Interstate 29 in Iowa shut down for 48 hours as crews installed flood barriers, officials say. An area of view of this interchange there, it looks like they got a highway out there in the middle of a lake. The closing means that with the exceptions of Omaha and Plattsmouth, Nebraska, crossings between Nebraska and Iowa, all bridges are closed along a 228-mile stretch of the river from Sioux City, Iowa, to St. Joseph, Missouri. Iowa crews are installing giant sandbags along the north side of Highway 30. The south side already has the barrier installed. Other bridges that have been closed by flooding include Highway 2 from Nebraska City into Iowa, Highway 136 from Brownsville, Nebraska into Missouri, and Highway 159 from Rollo, Nebraska into Missouri. At Salem Trucking Company in Lincoln, about 50 miles southwest of Omaha, company president Dick Salem said the closings have impacted trips and costs. Quote, "It does impact the miles we run and the travel times we have to adjust for that on a per-trip basis. We have agreements with our customers in place that if there are extra miles incurred, that there will be an additional charge." So watch as your prices go up in the big box stores as they try to get things to you wherever you might be as they have to go around these afflicted areas. Transportation seems to be affected by so many factors. Hardly any of them make the job easier, not to mention the high price of diesel fuel. The swollen Missouri River received a record amount of rainfall and snowmelt runoff in June. U.S. Army Corps of Engineers said in a report released last week that June runoff into the river was 13.8 million acre feet of water, topping the previous record set in 1952, the year of my birth. The combined total runoff for May and June fell just short of the normal total runoff for an entire year. Record water releases to relieve pressure on the six reservoirs from Montana through South Dakota have strained flood defenses along the Missouri River and breached levees downstream. Well, I guess there's other things out there. This is a sign of the Times Network website. A couple of stories in here. Apparently a blind woman. She only has 10% of her eyesight left due to glaucoma, won a photography contest. Well, that's pretty interesting, but I wanted to share this one with you. There's a rare zonkey that's been born in China. That's right, a rare zonkey born in China. All right. The foal, you can see this up on the website. It's www.sott.net. A rare zonkey born in China. We'll talk about that right after this. Then we'll go into a little study on grammar.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Hey, how's that Franken food working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Slobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
So, of course, this is one of those very unusual websites. It was just kind of a transferring link that I found this morning looking for things in regards to the Missouri flooding. But anyway, come across this article on SOT.net. This is the signs of the times. You know, these are the guys that are out there in the apocalypse now and the prophecy and all that sort of stuff. They do have some interesting things that I found on the website here. They do have some kind of fun things to think about. You know, I saw looking for new news and some good news. Well, I guess this is about as close to good news we're going to get. A rare zonkey, born in China. You can find it on the Telegraph UK under that title, perhaps. Anyway, the foal, which has the distinctive stripes of a zebra on parts of its body, was just over 3 feet tall and weighed approximately 4.7 stones. Oh, wow, stones. Man, talk about catching up with your humanity here. I don't know how much a stone weighs, but I guess it weighs a stone, 4.7 of them, when it was born on Sunday. According to zoo staff, the zebra mated naturally with a donkey after being left free to roam together along with sheep in the same enclosure. I guess the donkey was probably thinking, well, that zebra looks better than the sheep. Let's go this way. Anyway, the mother required veterinary help during the birth, but has now been returned to graze with her offspring, where the pair are on show to visitors. A zebra-donkey hybrid is also known as Zonkey, or Zebonkey, or Zebrini, or Zebrula, or a Zebras, or a Zedonk. You're talking about grammar. Lots of ways to look at that. A Zonkey, a Zebonkey, a Zebrini, a Zebrula, a Zebras, and a Zedonk. Wow. I'll tell you to take your children to that zoo or they'll be confused for months. Anyway, let's go into a little bit about grammar in the last moments of the broadcast here in the first hour, and then we're going to go into the second hour. You see, we've got some callers on the line. Stay there. We'll come back to that. But this is out of a textbook, Concise English Handbook, second edition. I've shared a little bit of excerpts from this before in the past. The Concise English Handbook, second edition, in my library. I've got it open in front of me. Copyright 1961, 1965, contemporary with our business course that we're studying also. This one by Wadsworth Publishing Company, and this is the fifth edition, five printings. And in the second chapter, diction, all right? No, just pay attention. His first few weeks in college demonstrate to the student, again, 1960s, early. His first few weeks in college demonstrate to the student the need for paying close attention to vocabulary and diction. That is, word resources and word choice. I mean, it could be zonky, zibonky, zebrini, zebrilla, zebras, or zedonk. But would each of those be appropriate, or any of those be appropriate? In each major field he enters, he is confronted with terms for the objects and the ideas discussed, the standards applied, and the procedures followed. So when we get into the news basket on Bloomberg, and we run through all of these very unusual articles from the world of economy and environment and commodities and exchanges and law and politics and all those social things, for us, especially for those of you out there that run a website or blog or things like that, journalists, you know, for us, we need to be very careful when we're confronted with terms, the objects and ideas discussed, the standards applied, the procedures followed, that we not be confused. And that's why I always suggest that we start first with a dictionary. In our literature class, he is confused by words like monograph or didactic, elegiac, and allegory, elegiac. In a philosophy or humanities course, he has to learn the meaning of metaphysics, asceticism, dogmatism, or anthropology. In addition to new and unfamiliar words, he encounters familiar words used in unfamiliar ways. He is asked to write a critical paper and discovers too late that critical did not mean fault-finding, but objective, thoughtful, or analytical. So we need to define our terms in all things. You find yourself going into law, into that buzzsaw in the legal justice system. If you can find any justice there, you need to pay attention to the meanings of terms. Don't run away. Let your passions run away with you when you get an official letter. Go in and take a very close look and see what's being said. What is meant by substantial diminution of property value anyway? Still other words contain familiar elements which encourage the student to guess at their meanings. Poor choice of things to do there, bad tactic. Often such guessing turns out to be misleading. An apologist, for instance, does not mean a person who apologizes for what he realizes is wrong. It means a person who defends what he claims is right. You have these Christian apologists out there, and Jewish apologists, and Mormon apologists, and Catholic apologists. They're defending what they think is right, what they claim is right. Determinist does not mean a person who believes that people determine their own actions by free choice. It means a person who believes that people's actions are determined by causes beyond their control. Little stuff. Things to think about. Why in the trivium we begin with grammar and proceed from there. College dictionaries. A good dictionary is a comprehensive inventory of words, giving information on their history, their meanings, and the limitations. A good dictionary is the result of a scholarly teamwork, rarely the work of one individual. It records the way words have been used in the past and are being used at present, and tells how certain words are not used. Okay. And then it continues, and they've got an excerpt here out of one of my favorite dictionaries, and it happens to be out of the same dictionary that I have on the shelf here. Webster's New World Dictionary, one of several widely used college dictionaries, makes a special effort to explain the meanings of a word in simple and clear language. It gives exceptionally full information on the history of a word and its current uses, including slang. And then it goes on, it talks, the New Collegiate Dictionary, which is the one that I have, in its current seventh edition, is an abridgment of Webster's third New International Dictionary. And then it continues and tells you who's published it. The Standard Dictionary, Standard College Dictionary, first published in 1963, presents the most common rather than the earliest meanings of a word first. And so you can see that even the very dictionary that you happen to be working with or working from has different meanings that were put together by the authors for different purposes. And so if you want to go and get one of the most authoritative out there, if you can bear the freight, or you have it, can find it on the internet, you know, then you can get the Oxford Dictionary of the English Language, the big, huge ones that you used to have in schools. In the wording of definitions, the major college dictionaries range from the everyday language of the NWD to the more technical and scholarly style of the NCD. And then it continues and it talks about that. So I just bring that to your attention, because if we fail to have in our arsenal quality dictionaries and then resort to them, we're making some mistakes. We're likely to go into error. And although none of us can be perfect, I'm certainly the least of perfect out there. That's why I have so many dictionaries. I'm a little bit flawed, I guess. Anyway, I have to keep looking all the time. As none of us are perfect, it helps us to look around a little bit and to think a little bit more than perhaps others would. Now, continuing, we talked yesterday a little bit about grammar. I don't want to go into the really deep stuff with grammar and get into all the parts of speech and the senses and things like that. It just doesn't, I don't think it would translate well into the radio. But nevertheless, in grammar schools, there's much to be known about that. Grammar schools, again, we found that there was a difference between grammar schools as understood in England and grammar schools as understood in America. And again, I'm looking at the Encyclopedia Americana, and this published in 1951. Many of these articles written far earlier than that, and I would imagine this is no exception. The term grammar school is generally used at the present time to denote a school maintaining a full elementary or pre-academic course and housed in a building or buildings by itself, separate from the high school or the academic department. So when we were growing up, some of us, there was a grade school, 1 through 6, then there was a junior high school, and then there was the high school. And so somewhere in this mix, there needs to be a grammar school if we're actually getting educated. All right? Less frequently, a school having only the 7th and 8th grades is called a grammar school. So your middle school or your junior high school, 7th and 8th grade, ought perhaps most properly be considered your grammar school. That way you're not rushing too quickly into the minds of the young people with this idea of nouns and verbs and verbals and intransitives and all of that, subject and predicate and diagramming sentences. Save that for the 7th and 8th grade. We'll be right back.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. libertystickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
Looking for news and real information? You found it. You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
So let me just continue just briefly a little bit more about the grammar school and a paragraph or so from our business. And we got a caller on the line. I want to bring him up, but I want to lay down this backstory here so we got to get off to the right start. In our study of grammar here briefly today. The course of studying a grammar school, again, is essentially the same as the commonly prescribed in the rural school or the elementary department of the village high school, which usually includes both elementary and academic departments. The difference is the number of studies offered, the length of time given to the class periods, and in rural schools, the number of classes or grades instructed by a single teacher. Now, for some of you, you may remember the comments that I have in the past made. I had the opportunity, and I do consider it to be an opportunity, to spend one of the years of my life in Nome, Alaska. Go look it up on the map, on your atlas. Going to a village school, Nome, Alaska is in Eskimo Village. My father was a bush pilot, and he was stationed out of there for most of the winter, and it was deemed appropriate for us to go there. And so my younger brother and myself and my mother set aside our house in Fairbanks and came out to Nome, Alaska. And I don't know absolutely, because at the time I was, you know, not really paying that close of attention, but I believe I was in a two-room school. On one side of a thin partition wall, a wooden wall, there were older students, and on the other side there were younger students, and you could hear the mayhem on the other side. But in the other side, the side that I was on with my younger brother, and we had never been in any kind of an education situation like this before, all of the classes basically were given by one instructor. There was only one teacher on each side. And all of the classes for all of the various grades were covered as we went through. Now, the older students were expected to work with the younger students to bring them up to speed on various things and help with instruction and homework and that sort of thing. But it was a most unusual experience. And, of course, the place was absolutely pungent with urine, all right? And there's, you know, not that anyone was peeing on the floor. It's just that the way that you cure seal skin and hides, they pee on them, and then they chew on them. So your mukluks and your parkas and all of those sorts of things, it was very pungent. And then they ate mostly salmon, blubber, and muktuk. Lunchtime was enough to gag a maggot, all right? It was quite the experience, and then they had a kerosene stove that had open air to both rooms. Very unusual situation. But this is this idea of this elementary school, or rural school, and in this case, a two-room school, all right? And then more or less, physical training is also usually included in the course of study. In occasional grammar schools, there are taught the beginnings of certain subjects which have in the past ordinarily been considered as belonging to the high school. These subjects are Latin, modern languages, algebra, and elementary general science. And so now here we're adding to our grammar, we begin to add in the quadrivium. All right? They didn't say too much about music there. But let's go on a little bit more now, and I'm going to jump over to the same time period. Now, this is this Introduction to Business, Gloss Baker, 1967. And it says here in Chapter 15, under Employee Selection and Training, Executive Training, many firms maintain training courses for selected college graduates. These are frequently designed to provide broad schooling in all phases of the business, with the exception that the trainees will find their own places in the organization as the plans unfold. The management training courses of the Jones and Laughlin Steel Corporation is an example of such a program, and we assume that they're going to tell us a little bit about that here. Executive training at rather high levels is offered by some firms which believe that the way to be assured of good executives is to select the individuals with great care and then give them thorough training, not only in the essentials of the job, but also in the broader aspects of economics, business practices, and policies. We'll be right back.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so once again now back into this discussion, employee selection and training out of a business introduction to business collegiate level course here, textbook, really enjoying it, some 350 pages into it already and going towards the end. It's 650 pages long, and as I've mentioned before, I'm in virgin territory in here. Nobody, none of the teachers that have ever used this book, at least, or any of the students that ever studied out of it, and it's a hard copy book, have ever gone into this area. And I wonder why. You would think that maybe they would get that in college, but I guess they just gloss over it. But executive training then at these rather high levels, we start off with the grammar schools, go all the way back to your kindergarten, and bring it forward from there, laying down the rudiments, the foundation. We can talk about more of that, too, as far as what the parents' role in all this can be or ought to be, homeschooling, raising the children up in the way they ought to go. Remember our study of Trivium where it began with the father and the son shadowing his father, learning everything that he would need to know in the rest of his life, not anticipating going on to other schooling, getting it all from pop, it used to be the way it was, but they continue here and they say an increased emphasis is being placed on human relations. Again, this is 1960s, and the development of leadership, skill in writing, speaking, creativity, and analytical skills. So here in the 1960s, even though we've got textbooks aplenty and encyclopedias aplenty in regards to grammar, they're still, as at the executive level, they're going back and they're resorting to skill in writing, speaking, creativity, and their analytical skills. In other words, grammar, logic, and rhetoric, plus the quadrivium. Now let's go over here, click on this, and go over there and say good morning, Jason.
Hi, Will. How are you doing today?
Fantastic, I hope.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking my call. And I just wanted to elaborate a little bit on this subject of grammar and words and whatnot. And poking around on the internet, I came across a Google book, and it's called Words, Their Use and Abuse by William Matthews.
Interesting.
And in the beginning here, yeah. And in the beginning here, there's a little quote. It says, syllables govern the world by Coke. To the thoughtful man, who has reflected on the common operations of life, which, but for the commonness, would be deemed full of marvel. Few things are more wonderful than the origin, structure, history, and significance of words. The tongue is the glory of man, for though animals have memory, will, and intellect, yet language, which gives us a duplicate and multipliable existence, enabling the mind to communicate with mind, is the Rubicon which they have never dared to cross. The dog barks as it barked at the creation, and the crow of the cock is the same today as when it startled the ear of the repentant Peter. The song of the lark and the howl of the leopard have continued as unchangeable as the concentric circles of the spider and the waxen hexagon of the bee. And even the stoutest champion of the orang-outang theories of man's origin will admit that no process of natural selection has yet distilled the significant words out of the cries of beasts or the notes of birds. Speech is a divine gift. It has the least or the last seal of dignity stamped by God upon his intelligent offspring and proves more conclusively that his upright form and his looks, commencing with the skies, that he has made in the image of God. Without this crowning gift of man, even reason would have been comparatively valueless, for he would have felt himself to be imprisoned even when the large solitary in the midst of a crowd and the society of the wisest of his race would have been uninstructed as that of barbarians and savages.
It's an interesting observation that the author makes there, because if you were to take, let's say, a man endowed with reason and devoid of language, given, you know, our understanding of who we are and whose we are, it would almost seem to me, Jason, that reason would force the utterance. It would force the use of language. If we could look one another, you know, in the eye, so to speak, as the Bobongo chimpanzees or any of the others, they look at each other, and you've got something, you know, some thought just burning, the desire to utter it, to get it out, to speak it, and to bring it forth as a word, may be just so intense in man that he just can't help himself but to speak, and it led us into that. It's like when the baby, you know, it realizes that it has the ability to vocalize. The young one understands that the others are vocalizing. They have to study intently and listen so very carefully, which is why I would advise people not to use baby talk. Why make your little one learn two languages simultaneously? Just speak in clean, and simple, you know, English, so they don't have to try and figure out what is doggy as opposed to dog, you know. Anyway, the idea there is that it's a building block system of communication. But I think that it's overwhelming. It's unbelievable. Well, whatever pops into the mind of a 2-year-old will pop out of the mouth of a 2-year-old in short order. and whatever pops into my mouth on these radio broadcasts seems to pop, or pops into my mind seems to pop out of my mouth almost immediately as well. So it's kind of a phenomena of man, but I think the author was absolutely right. The ability to reason may very well precede the utterance, and it was because of the power of the intellect that was behind that reason, the utterance had to come.
Yes, very much so. And what's also very interesting is how words have meaning. And you stated yesterday that you were talking about John 1, and it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And what's interesting is we had a conversation one time, and you had said that that word may have meant something else. And so I'm here in the dictionary, the New Webster Encyclopedia Dictionary, and in under the entry here, it says, the Word, the Scriptures, or any part of them, the second person of the Trinity, the Logos.
Right.
And so I've been doing a little bit of researching on the Logos, and that's been taking me all kinds of places, but it seems to me that the Logos is the theological aspect of which we have the philosophical aspect of logic.
Correct. It's the unspoken. This is the reason. This is reason, all right? This is the reason that cries out for utterance. You know, in the beginning, in Genesis 1, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And then everything else came after that. And then it's the Adamic principle where Adam is given the opportunity, apparently, according to the mythology there, to name everything. And we've been naming everything. And we continue to name everything. And we're always delighted when we can come up with a new name for something. And so this is part of it. But the Logos as logic, in the beginning was logic. And everything was built logically. Nothing, if you just use logic in replace of the Word and go down through the rest of John 1:1, you can see how powerful that concept is. Nothing was ever created that wasn't created logically, you know? And so all things, you know, begin and end with the logic, and anything that's an illogic is a fallacy, and it can't be the truth. And so you can say that the Word is both logos and truth. Hang on right there. We're coming right up on a break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras, guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Zlobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Radio X, with your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so back once again, speaking with our caller, Jason from Minnesota, also known as 10K Puddles in the chat room. And Jason, you know, it's really, I'm so glad that you're looking into this idea, this logos. When I started on that topic, when I was studying John one day in the Bible, you know, it really opened up a whole new Bible study and then companion study, comparative studies from there. I think it's very, very important, and I don't think that near enough attention is paid to that particular verse and the verses that follow.
Yes, and you're absolutely correct. And, you know, I haven't gone beyond just this very first verse because I'm off on this tangent studying the logos and logic.
Yes.
And because there's a whole gob and a bunch of information, and I'd just like to share a little bit more of that.
Sure, go ahead.
And this is all the of the Encyclopedia of Philosophy. It says logos, the Greek noun logos, derived from the root found in the verb lego, which means I say. And the classical period covered a wide range of meanings expressed by quite different words in the modern languages. Thus, word, speech, argument, explanation, doctrine, esteem, numerical computation, measure, proportion, plea, principle, and reason, whether human or divine, all represent standard meanings of the one Greek word.
Wow.
Yeah, there's very much under here. And then, so I'm going through all my different books that I have in my library and, you know, looking to see where I can find logos. And this is out of the great books of the Western world in the very first chapter here. It says, the tradition of the West is embodied in the great conversation that began in the dawn of history and that continues to the present day. Whatever the merits of other civilizations in other respects, no civilization is like that of the West in this respect. No other civilization can claim that its defining characteristics is a dialogue of this sort. No dialogue in any other civilization can compare with that of the West and the number of great works of the mind that have contributed to this dialogue. The goal towards which Western society moves is the civilization of the dialogue. The spirit of Western civilization is the spirit of inquiry. Its dominant element is the logos. Nothing is to remain undiscussed.
Incredible. Incredible. Well, you know, one thing that I will suggest now that you're starting to build your own library and doing these kinds of researches, one thing that I have really benefited from personally is using the smallest of all small post-it notes that come out. You know, you can buy them at a stationery store, but get these post-it notes, and I use those on the top, in the top margin of the pages of my encyclopedias and all of my books. I mean, it looks like, you know, Tonto's quiver. My books all have these post-it notes sticking on the top, but for me, they're triggers into all of the various threads that I've studied. And so if I want to come back, and it's been absolutely one of the things that really I'm slayed by having not done it, because I have lots of encyclopedias and lots of reference materials. But somewhere in my studies, there is on the right hand page in the left hand column near the bottom in the lower right or lower left quartile, and that's how my photographic memory works, positional memory. There is an article that links together Italian professor who gave education to both Johann Reuchlin and either Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci. And I want that article back in my system, in my brain, as bad as anything I've wanted in a long time, because it really ties together the Reformation on one side, liberal arts and that expansion on the other side, the Reformation, the Counter-Reformation, and very many important links. But it's a missing link, and it's because I failed to use a post-it note, thinking I would easily remember the name of that educator, the teacher, that is keeping me from it. So when you come across things like this, I use a post-it note on the top of the page there and just write the word logos, or something on that post-it note so that in the future you can come back to it. And as you begin to follow these threads out, you're going to start to have a completely different understanding of some of them when you begin to see how eventually all these dots start to connect one to another. This is not something that you can get out of an index in a set of encyclopedias. It's not something that you necessarily will get out of an index in a well-written book or a table of contents. This is only the stuff that continuous study for a period of years will be able to help you to find. But, logos is a fascinating topic, and I'm glad you brought it out, and I'm glad that you're looking into it.
Yes, and I do want to concur with you that it appears that the logic of Aristotle was impenetrable, that his works were right on, they were spot on. And it seems that, that they spent almost up to, 1,500 years trying to punch holes in his works. And basically, from what I've gathered, is that the philosophers just decided, they're just going to throw it out the window and start their own logic.
Well, how many years anterior to the book of John is the writing of Aristotle? And when we go back and we start to think about, in the beginning of what? They don't say. But maybe it's just in the beginning of this line of reasoning was Aristotle. You could have said it that way. You could go back and look at the relationship between the Greeks, which they called Gentiles, or Goyim, and those that were in the vicinity of Palestinia. Look at that relationship between the two of them. There was a lot of animosity, I think, that continues to this day, and especially in organizations like the Council for National Policy, Tim LaHaye's book, The Battle for Your Mind, where he's looking at secular humanism and all of the great, Greeks, the Plato and Socrates and Aristotle and all of the more modern liberal arts thinkers and stuff like that, and they brand them as basically the Antichrist and style it against their writers. Voltaire is off limits. Machiavelli is off limits. But if we do that, I think that we build ourselves boxes that we don't need to go into. I'd say that Bill Cooper had it right. Read anything. Read anyone's work. Study anything, watch anything, listen to anything, but believe nothing until you can verify it in your own research. The idea is to expose ourselves to a wide variety of materials, and even as the Bible teaches, retain the things that are meet for instruction. Search the scriptures, it says, for in them you'll find, my quotations, it's just not in my mind at the moment, but anyway, that this is the truth, and this is the way to approach it, and I think that there are a lot of people that are trying to protect their little domains and even large domains that would have you not go into all of these places. But Aristotle, you're absolutely right. I have modern collegiate textbooks on logic, and they too make the same claim that even though this is a new logic textbook and they have symbolic logic and all this other stuff in it, that really, truly, Aristotle wrote the book on it. He solved it, and nobody's added much to it since then.
Yes, and I'm going to be really expressing that people take the time to go out and try to find some books or anything on these subjects and read through them.
Well, this is grammar school. It's grammar school for the philosophically radical. I mean, if we're going to be that replacement set, I keep looking back to why are we doing the broadcast? The reason why I'm doing these broadcasts is because I believe that we're on the edge of a cataclysmic change here in social thought and social thinking. Then when the Western man's civilizations are destroyed by the global East, we're going to have to be the ones that rebuild it from the ashes, all right? They want to bring it down, and as I've said many times, Jason, you know well, we have the choice, and choices have consequences, and we need to choose wisely here. We can't afford any mistakes. But on the other side of all of this upheaval, there's going to be government, and it's either going to be a government of our choosing or it's going to be a government that's chosen for us. I would hope that we would be able to find a better path forward into greater and greater freedom and less tyranny and despotic control than the one option that's being presented to us. And I really thank you for your call, good research, and thanks for bringing Logos to our attention.
The home of cutting-edge talk radio. Online, worldwide, at oraclebroadcasting.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And back once again, and just quickly, I was able to remember the verse. It's out of 1 Thessalonians 5:4. It's actually 5:21. It says, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. All right. There's another one. I can't quite remember it. It's a search the scriptures. And then it repeats basically the same and prove it. You hold all those things that you can find that are meet for instruction. And so, you know, we look at all of these various books and the research that they lead us into. and add to our treasure chest, little here, little there, line behind line, precept upon precept, gaining in knowledge, gaining in understanding, gaining in discernment, you know, all of the time. That we not be like those that are, you know, running the world right now into ruin, but that we might consider the world not a place of austerity, a place of scarcity, but to consider it as a place of abundance, where we were set here to do a certain thing, to be good stewards, and that it's going to be a mark as to whether or not we are worthy of the gifts that we've gotten, like reason and being, you know, the opposed thumb and all the fingers and our ability to craft and shape and to think. You know, I don't like to go into too much preachiness here, but I just tremble that at what stupidity that the best we can come up with, you know, these horrible batards that, you know, the money junkies, that the best we can come up with is being creative on the ways that we can destroy one another and destroy other people. To me, it's an abomination. It's unbearable to even have to live on the planet at this time, this past 100 years, this past 60 years of my life, to even live on the planet at a time when man is demonstrating himself in such a fashion. It just makes me yearn for a better way, and desperately. And we needed it a long time ago, but we could certainly use it now. So we look at all of these various things. Go back, you know, to the point of the young. How would you raise if you were in the situation? Maybe you have a grandchild. Maybe you have a son or a daughter, new, young one, and you're going to bring them up in the way that they should go. All right, how would you even begin? Well, it's a step-by-step-by-step-by-step process. If you understand, as I do, at least a little bit from studying all these books, a little bit about the idea, the original concept of trivium and quadrivium, if you start with building blocks, it's like the little blocks A, B, C, D, you should be able to get that get that alphabet behind you quickly, even with as young as a two-year-old I have, and I know you can do it. But the little people can come along real rapidly if they have someone that really cares to do so. But you kind of need to know where you're going. You start out with this grammar and all the words, and then how you put them together. And then coming back and testing them, you know, test your thoughts. Again, neither the grammar nor the trivium nor the quadrivium bring you into creativity. That's not going to make a creative art. That's not going to make a poem. That's not going to create, you know, the lyric for a song. It's your creative spark that's going to do that. But all of these other tools are how we bring that out to the highest level, the greatest development. And so again, back into this, I'm going to conclude on the employee selection and training part here. And it says this: with the increasing importance of the personnel aspects of the managerial function has come the concept of personal relations as an overall company activity. And this, as a result, training and techniques of good personnel relations is offered not merely to foremen and employees of the personnel division, but also to other supervisors and to company executives at all levels. One of the methods employed for this purpose is the psychodrama or role-playing, under the guidance of a trainer from the personnel division. The trainees assume the parts of foremen and workers and act out some of their more troublesome situations. And today, they're using this in school, the DARE officers and all that. They come out and they do these psychodramas on the young people, building them into this big, huge wall of fear around automobiles and alcohol or this or that. And then at the same time, they go through the role-playing of how to be good little homosexuals and social deviants. It's unbelievable that young people can even emerge with anything left of themselves, their original nature, that they can even emerge from the schools today is unbelievable comparatively to the things that were being discussed here in these older books. They're not ancient. They're just 40, 50 years ago, the things we were thinking about. The number of teachers varies greatly in grammar schools. There are seldom less than 8, one to a grade. Although in small outlying schools, one teacher may instruct 2 grades. A typical city grammar school has from 16 to 32 teachers. 16 to 32 teachers. How many new teachers are in? How many teachers are in your local school for young people, grades 1 through 6, and so on? How many? There's team up on it. It doesn't matter how many, you know, students they've got. You know, they just want to have classes with only one teacher, a one-on-one relationship. Look at the job that they're doing. Yesterday I heard a story out of Atlanta, Georgia, about a teacher, apparently, or a school principal, apparently, has been caught now fudging the tests. They don't just fudge the tests. They're just fraudulently passing everybody, giving them exceptional grades. Why? Because they get paid for that. It's all school student attendance per day. But the young people are the ones that are destroyed in this. Well, let's go back into a little bit more again. Grammars are traditionally built up with the following main divisions. Phonology, spoke about that a little bit yesterday. The treatment of the general theory of the sounds and the sound combinations of the language concerned, as well as the orthography where there is an occasion. If you can use language, actually use the trivium and the quadrivium as building blocks. That's what I want to do. It starts with words. But then also, you can work in math while you're learning grammar, while you're learning language. You can learn music at the same time. You can begin to learn music theory at the very point where you start going using numbers. You can begin to start thinking about geometry at the very earliest age, and you work them all together. And this is a skillful blending that you can do right in your homes with grade schoolers. And remember, John Stuart Mill, educated by his, you know, taught by his father, was absolutely brilliant at the earliest of ages. And then yesterday, as we saw looking at that fallacy article off of Wikipedia, he then went on to write logic texts and so many other things. Okay? So there's a lot of stuff. Phonology, morphology, or accidents, the theory of forms, generally treats of the traditional parts of speech in their usual order, substantives, adjectives, verbs, pronouns, adverbs, prepositions, interjections. And when you weave all of that together and understand how to use them and use them correctly and use them skillfully, then your writing and your communication just begins to blossom. You become that statesman that is so much lacking in our systems today. Word formations, dealing again with prefixes, suffixes, and that. Syntax. I talk a lot about the obfuscatory linguistics of the logical positivist syntactician. You might look up Rudolf Ayers, or Carnap. Carnap and Ayers, A-Y-E-R-S, and logical positivism. Or you could just click on the link on the homepage there of Become Vocal Local. Go over to freedomadvocates.org and get some of the recordings that I've done with them on logical positivism. Continuing, it just comes down and it starts to talk about the theories of forms. And again, like I said yesterday, I don't want to go into those in great detail on the radio because it's just too much. You really need to study this for yourself and add you know, line upon line. And then use them in all the things that you're doing. The more you understand about logic, and it's not terribly difficult, you can get it, go to a bookstore, a used bookstore, and get Aristotle's book on logic. Get his complete works from a modern library edition. It has the whole section in there, and then just read it. Fill it into your mind, flow it into your mind, and let your mind, you know, dwell on it a bit. You might be surprised that you'll come back later and say, aha, I recognize that. I can use this idea, and so on. Well, back into public policy. I want to close out on this. Because public policy education is how the wordsmiths dialogue you and I into consensus. And being just no wiser than, you know, the nearest doorknob, we accept this stuff when we hear it. Because we haven't learned all of the various fallacies, and we don't know them by heart. We don't recognize them when we hear them. We just take this information as it comes, and they are consciously and continuously, just like these executives in the business study, they're constantly continuing taking select college graduates, bringing them inside. You have your Peter Zelikows, and you've got your, you know, Dick Cheney's, and you've got all the rest of the horde, the PNAC bunch, you know. And they work with these people then outside of the venue of college, outside of the university. And they work and they train them specifically. Maybe they would study under Zbigniew Brzezinski or Henry Kissinger for a while. They become proficient at change agents. And then they come in and they dialogue whole nations into consensus for the IMF and others.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Slobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so, of course, you know, the idea of becoming vocal local is actually taking action right where we are, right where we are in our towns, our cities, our counties, our states. I like to think of it beginning at the local voting precinct level and building it from there, building your base and then moving into county so that you can begin to build these islands, as Mike Chambers and I have discussed in the past, these islands of freedom, one here, one there, one here, one there, and then with pathways connecting our own dots and taking the system back. And so all of these very important tools, I'm so glad that it's come to, you know, public discussion so that I dare even talk about grammar on the radio. I know it's boring, we'll lose audience here, but those that are staying with us on it, this is important material. Because as I mentioned yesterday, and you go up in front of one of these boards, unelected boards and councils, you go in front of your county commissioner, you go in front of a school board, especially a school board where they've all, you know, up to their eyeballs in sheepskins, this is where you're going to need to shine on, where you're going to have to be exceedingly convincing in presenting your information in a cogent and a logically solid rhetorical argument, if we can say it that way, with facts following. Show me your facts, show me the law, and show me your evidence and all of that. Or if you find yourself crosswise to the law and you might be in a courtroom, you can fall back on these tools time and time and time and time again. back to this discussion. Again, this is University Extension, all right? This is academia. This is the land-grant colleges, and they're working against us. They work for the corporations, academia. All of the research is being funded by corporations and by, you know, NGOs and by the government. And they're not necessarily going down the road that you and I might like to see around us. Here we go. If the educator's personal values are consistent with the philosophy outlined above, and if you're just new to the broadcast, you can find it in the archives. We've read this whole section now. Then it's appropriate to shift attention to more practical questions about beginning a public policy education program. This is not, you know, don't be slack in this. Understand that this is a public policy education program. It's ongoing. You wake up in the morning, you read the news, you hear the news, and you realize that we're dying a death of 1,000 cuts. We've shared with you before, these people are not slack. They plan, and they plan on the long term. They've got 2-year plans, and 5-year plans, and 10-year plans, and 25-year plans, and millennial goals. Millennial development goals. There are a few requisites for a successful program. Assuming these prerequisites are met, the educator then must ask, how do I know what issues to tackle? So you're a blogger, you've got a website, you do a radio broadcast, and you have to ask these questions. What issues to tackle? I get up in the morning early at 6 and come on the line, and I start looking at all of these articles, and I only go to this one website, Bloomberg. And I allow Bloomberg to push me out to other places, and it does. But I'm looking in here, how do I know what issues to tackle off of Michael Bloomberg, New York City, the heartbeat of American economy and maybe global economy? How do I know what issues to tackle and which threads to follow? How do I know when to plan and when to teach? Whom do I teach? These more practical concerns are the subject of this section. All right? Conflict. Public policy education deals with issues that are controversial, so they don't make any bones about it right up front, all right, when they're teaching the change agents this stuff. This is change agents instruction material here. A decision that is to be made by government becomes a policy issue. Don't you like that? This is the administrative branch of government. They make policy. They set rules. This is the code of federal regulations, etc. A decision that is to be made by government becomes a policy. We find exactly the same in our business manual here, our business textbook. Corporations. Corporation Nation. Go check out the video. A decision, corporationnation.com, check out the website. A decision that is to be made by government becomes a policy issue precisely because there is controversy. A conflict among individuals and groups about the best course of action to pursue. Can we allow the people access to fresh milk, or do we have to stop that? Can we allow them to have their ungenetically modified seeds, or do we have to stop that? For example, a decision to take bids on harvesting part of a state forest is usually not controversial. It is not a policy issue. However, I add, parenthetically, as a sidebar, buying the Mississippi River, the Missouri River floodplain is a controversial issue. Only one article on Bloomberg about that, and now it's under the table. It caught fire on the internet, and now they've gone silent on it. But when certain individuals and groups object to timber harvest in a certain area because it destroys scenery and wilderness, then the matter may become a policy issue of some importance to county government. So in other words, when all the NGOs and the Bugs and Bunny people come out and they decide to start shooting barred owls to save the spotted owls, people come out. They get come unglued. If there is no controversy, no conflict, there is no policy issue. So by definition, policy education deals with public questions or decisions over which of these are disagreements and conflicting interests. And so as Rosalind Peterson teaches us about her research into this new EPA regulations where the United States military is going to be doing war games along the coastlines of all of our coastlines, and it runs out for years and years, we have to ask ourselves, what the hell kind of policy is this? And on which side of this issue are we going to stand? Are we going to stand with Lockheed Martin and Boeing? and all of the aerospace and all of the manufacturers, DuPont and the rest of them, and Dow Chemical, or are we going to stand on the other side and say, hey, knock this crap off? All right, and they're prepared for it. They've already got it all set up. No matter how objective the public policy educational program, it is likely that some individuals or groups will object to the effort, if for no other reason than that the educational program makes the issue more visible. Besides, even absolutely factual information is rarely politically neutral. So there's going to be conflict, and we're going to be involved in conflict all the time. And we're going to be involved with more and more of these professionals, these government people, the people that will no longer blow a whistle. They've seen all of their co-workers drop from the department. They were selected to stay on with government because they were loyal to the cause and they would sell their souls out for anything. And so now we're going to be dealing with an even sharper bunch of change agents going forward. Support. Extension, as an organization, must be willing and able to withstand the controversy and the criticism that even the best policy education project may create. They will withstand all of the fiery barbs, and it's like a deep well with a long handle on an old pitcher pump. Once you pour your primer down that hole and you grab hold of that handle and start a pumping, you don't dare stop pumping. Because you're going to have to continue to pump and pump and pump and pump and pump while that water goes all the way to the bottom of the well, your little mason jar of water, to prime the pump. And then you're going to have to keep pumping and pumping and pumping and pumping on that handle until all the water comes back up and fills the pipe and starts flowing out. And before you wash your face or take a drink, you best fill up your mason jar again so you could repeat the performance at another time. And that's where we're at. Some people like myself and others have been on the handle for a long time pumping. And we finally got water coming up. And if we drop the handle at any time against the government outlives you, the government outlasts you. They are corporations. They never die. They never quit. They never go away. And when we turn our back on it, we lose all the ground that we may have gained. And people like Hal Anthony working on the mining issues and others, you know, you lose everything that you've gained when a forest supervisor is rotated out and a new one comes in. It's like an Etch-a-Sketch game. Now the new guy has total amnesia of all the things and all the letters and all the visits and all the talks. They just rotate somebody out. I call that the conservation of human resources. Because public policy education can be controversial, it pays to establish a good foundation for the program, both within extension and outside among groups. And so again, now we've fired up pluralism one more time. At the state level, this means informing extension administrators and colleagues that a program is being planned. Even for the most independent state specialists, this is not particularly an odious requirement, and in fact will usually occur without too much conscious effort. Again, they're planning. They have multiple layers to the plan. They're not adverse to this idea of forming groups. But unfortunately, in the alternative media, plenty of people are telling you to don't form your group. Well, I tell you, you try this one on by yourself, Bubba, and you won't make it to first base. Well, that's it for today. I hope you have a great weekend. I'll be back on Monday. Hope you will be too. And until the next time, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts,
attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Does Ordinary Talk Radio give you the blahs?
Blah, blah, blah!
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.